Let's turn to our Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we've been talking the last couple of weeks about Ahab and Jezebel. And some of you want me to move on. But we got to have this. But Elijah was one of the great prophets of God, probably the most talked about prophet of God in the Old Testament. And he was truly sent from God, and he was asked to do some things that were not easy. He was asked to go and to confront Ahab and Jezebel about their idolatry. And we learned from last week that they had revival there. They produced sacrifices, and the real God answered by fire, and the fire came down and consumed the sacrifice that Elijah offered. And then Elijah had all the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, executed. And so Jezebel was a Baal worshiper. And so she wasn't very happy about the 450 being executed, and she made it her aim to get rid of Elijah the same way. But let's read about it here in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time." When he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die, and said, "It is enough, O now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and there by his head was a baked cake on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose, ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after that, the wind and earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after that, a great earthquake and a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Verse 18 of the same chapter. "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence of your Holy Spirit here in this place. And I pray, Lord, you'd anoint your servant to speak the truth of your word. Help us to receive that which we need from you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't have to ask this question to already know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How many of you have ever been discouraged? Amen. It happened. And we're going to talk about Elijah because he was a discouraged man on the run. And he wasn't just another man, he was a man of God. And there's few people that saw the power of God demonstrated so powerfully as Elijah the prophet. But you know, sometimes after the greatest spiritual victory comes the greatest test of your faith. Elijah had just had a wonderful visitation of God I mean, they had demonstration of the spirit and of power. Fire had came down from heaven, devoured the sacrifice. I mean, it looked like Baal worship was over in Israel, and the people returned to the Lord. And the people, when they saw the fire, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Whereas before they had been given over to the worship of a false god named Baal, B-double-A-L, if you want to spell it. And there couldn't have been a greater move of God to bring the people back to God. And so it seemed that there was revival in Israel, and they needed to come back to God because they had gone into captivity, and they had suffered because of their rebellion against the one true God. And when Elijah offered this sacrifice, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, but it rained. And it came a sound of an abundance of rain. The people repented, calling on God, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." The prophets of Baal had been executed, and it seemed like everybody was happy. But Miss Jezebel was not happy. She wasn't shouting, she wasn't singing, she wasn't rejoicing. She wanted revenge because she didn't worship the God of Israel. She worshiped the false god Baal. And she told Elijah, sent messengers to tell him, says, "By about this time tomorrow, I'm going to make your life like one of the 450 prophets that you executed." And so you could say probably that Elijah was discouraged at hearing that kind of news. And this was a low place in Elijah's career as a prophet of God. He arose, he went for his life. And he entered Jezreel earlier full of hope, but a message from the incensed, hard-hearted queen vowing speedily vengeance for her slaughtered priest. Israel may have turned to God, but not Jezebel. She hadn't turned to God. She remained a leader to turn Israel away from God. And she was not an Israelite. Wicked King Ahab had married her. It was his first mistake. And they produce children. That's the second mistake. But anyway, discouragement dispels all his bright vision of the future. And that's what discouragement does. You can see in the bright future and you think everything's going to go good, but then something happens and makes you to become discouraged. And we see the threat here. You know, if somebody says, "I'm going to take your life by this time tomorrow," you might not be the most encouraged people in the world. And you know somebody's going to, stick it to you, so to speak. There's many ways to say it. Take your life. Amen. You're going to be in the obituaries in the morning. It wouldn't even encourage you very much. And so, no doubt, Elijah was discouraged here. And so, the threat produced the expected effect that Jezebel wanted to expect. Because his faith suddenly failed him. It didn't mean he was lost, but he just... couldn't, it's hard for him to believe that God was going to do all, or let him fall into this. "God, you've been so good to me. You brought revival in Israel, and now you're going to let me be killed in the morning." So he fled out of the kingdom to the southernmost part of Judah. And there he sought refuge among those mountain recesses of Sinai. And there he longed for death. He was discouraged. And he said, "Lord, I'm not any good. Lord, take my life. I'm not doing any good here." And so he wanted to die. Thankfully, he didn't take his own life, but he was discouraged. He was blue. He was discouraged. He felt a failure. He had seen revival at Carmel. It was good, but Jezebel wasn't about to forsake her Baal worship. And her evil ways were bad, and she never came to faith in God, the God of Israel. And she had murder on her brain. And he was to be the recipient of it. And so he was not encouraged. He didn't feel like just running off and having a good time. Amen. He didn't feel like calling all the relatives and friends together and let's celebrate. No. He was on the run because a lady was trying to murder him. This sudden extraordinary depression of mind arose from his too great confidence that inspired the miracles worked at Mount Carmel. He thought, surely these people had repented and turned back to God, but they really hadn't. Some of them maybe did. But you see, discouragement comes to all people. And we must make the choice as to what we will do with discouragement. And Elijah chose to run. But you see, you cannot run from discouragement. You must confront it and deal with it. Because if you run from it, discouragement's surely to catch you. It can run faster than you can. And if we don't deal with discouragement, it begins to set up shop and rule our lives. And you have to learn to stand up to life. Things happen in life. You will spend, if you don't, you'll spend your life running. There's people that do. And Elijah, he said, I'm going to get away from that woman. If it's all I have to do, I'm going to. I don't ever want to see another Jezebel in all my life. Everybody that's ever seen one doesn't want to see another one either. Take that where you want it. Elijah, he was low and he requested death for himself. Man, verse 14 there, he said, I am left alone, a prophet, and they seek to take my life. And so he wanted to die. He felt like he was the only one. It took God to remind him that there were 7,000 that did not bow the knee to Baal or fall down and kissed his toe. Feet. Okay. And so he's low, and he requests death for himself. In the book of, we move to the New Testament, the book of 1 Corinthians 15, there's a scripture there that will help you and I in times of discouragement. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And the writer there, Paul, to the church at Corinth, to the church in Quitman, he says, don't remain steadfast, be immovable, don't let anything affect your faith. He says, pick up and go on and live for God no matter what happens. No matter what discouragements might come your way, and they will come your way, but no matter what it is, you've got to pick up somewhere along the line and keep on going on for the Lord. It's not worth it, my friend, to quit running the race. We have got to finish the race. We have got to finish the course. Amen. We've got to keep on walking and living for God no matter what. Second of all, I want to talk about that fear will surely follow discouragement. Fear. And Jezebel vows to execute Elijah within 24 hours. And she was in a position to do this. And her husband Ahab, you know, I don't know a nice way to say this, Ahab, he's too much of a pansy to restrain her from anything. When I was in high school, we had a lot of words for pansies. But anyway, he wasn't the man of the house. He may have ruled the roost, but she ruled the rooster. Yeah, maybe that'll work. And so whatever she said went. And she was a wicked woman, and she was a powerful woman because she was demonically inspired. And so that's why she had the power and authority that she had. And so she wanted to do everything to destroy faith in Israel of the one true God and to bring them to the worship of a false god. I was reading a story here just a while back, and it was a sad story. It was of a young lady that was caught up in a cult, and it made me sadder when I heard what the name of the cult was. The name of the cult was the Assembly. I said, you better not make that Assembly of God, or I'm going to tear your paper up here. No. But it's where this man got caught up and wanted to be a ruler, and cults usually start in a family that's weak, or people that are looking for an answer, searching for an answer. They know nothing about the one true God. But this young girl got caught up in this, and she grew up to a certain age before she got out of it, and her parents were leaders, and whatever they said went and all that, but they got into legalistic rules, and according to this cult, you couldn't wear lipstick. And it's not a temptation to me, thank you. No fingernails, no cutting the hair, no friends outside the cult, no makeup. I have a little help on that. No makeup for the ladies. You know, if the barn needs paint it. Amen. Halloween didn't until October. Okay, but anyway. Eventually she left the cult. And it was no easy task, but because she did, she was immediately rejected by family and friends and everyone she knew. She was alone. And I wish I had a lot more of that story that she turned out okay. And I'm sure that she did. But that was the end of the story. It told no more of where I was reading it from. I'm sure there's more to the story than that. But you see, there's things happen. Fear follows discouragement a lot of times. Fear of what somebody else is going to do or think. And so Elijah was at this place. His fear was there. You know, why should he be as scared of Jezebel when he had saw fire come down from heaven? But yet he was. Because he was sad because they had departed from the truth. They had departed from the Ten Commandments and broke the first commandment, which resulted in breaking all of them. First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Israel had fallen to the place where they were willing to put the god Baal in the place of the one true God that had brought them out of Egypt and across to the promised land. And so the threat of death in this case was very strong. And when a wicked Jezebel threatened your life, the first thing you do is run. And that's what he did. But there are things that come up in our life that cause us to run to. It may be a threat of some family disagreement. It may be the loss of employment. You just want to run. It may be a betrayal by a close friend or somebody that you trusted in. And you say, I just can't keep up with this. I just got to get out of here. I've got to go somewhere else and deal with this some other way. It may be a bad neighbor. Amen. Or may bad neighbors come by the dozen sometimes. But I want to tell you something. You can't run from life. You can't run from the things that happen in life, because if you go somewhere else, there will be people just like that wherever you go. But I can tell you something. The God that we run to is different. He's there to help us. He doesn't let you down. He doesn't quit just because times got hard. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, he can bring you back to the mountaintop. He can bring you back to the reality of who he is. And he is a true God, a powerful God, a mighty God, a God that loves you, and a God that cares, and a God that's not going to give up on you. Lord. And so the discouragement comes knocking on your heart's door many times from various reasons. Feelings of loneliness, loss, depression, want to take control of your life. These things, there's things that's always out there that wants to take control of your thoughts, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Take control of your life, because the enemy's out to destroy you. Just because he doesn't like you. Man. I probably should say something positive after that, shouldn't I? Well, there's nothing positive. The devil hates you and he hates me. He's not going to start liking us because we're created in God's likeness and image. Okay? Feelings of loneliness, depression. But remember who we serve. We serve a Christ that conquered death, paid for our sins on the cross, shed his blood, poured out his soul into death for you and I because he loved us and cared for us. When we didn't know him and he didn't know our background, he knows our past, he knows everything about us, but we can't imagine a God who would forgive us of everything that offended a holy God. But he chose to, because he cares for you personally. He cares for you when you're going through discouragement. He cares for you when you feel like everybody's given up and you're at that place where you're feeling sorry for yourself and, you know, and you feel like everybody's done you wrong and nobody cares. And poor me, and we go through that thing. God still loves us. He doesn't love that about us, but he loves us. And so we see that we're not alone when discouragement comes along. Christ is there. He made salvation possible for us. He poured out his soul into death for us. And more than that, he rose again from the dead. So he conquered death for you and I because he loved us. Even when we were yet in our sins, he made it possible for us to repent and be restored. Here we find that God speaks during times of discouragement. He spoke to Elijah. He said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he'd gone into a cave in the mountains, found a place to get away from everything. It was dark. But discouragement is not the will of God. To remain depressed, lonely, or feeling like no one cares, that's not God's plan. God didn't save you for this. He saved you to be a victorious overcomer. Amen. He saved you to walk with him, to stay with him no matter what. And God speaks to Elijah here. Let's notice it in verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank and went on the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. You see, God still talked to him, Even though he was running the wrong way, but God still spoke to him. And regardless of where you're at this morning, I'm going to tell you that God cares and God loves you. God does not necessarily love everything you're doing. He may not love every choice you make, but he loves you and he's concerned about your eternal soul. And so God speaks to Elijah, and God feeds him and prepares him for the journey to Horeb, the mountain of God. There's some here that God had given the Ten Commandments to Israel. It is a place where that the presence of God was very powerful, and where that all Israel saw the mountain shake and tremble at the presence of Almighty God on Mount Sinai, as God audibly and literally called out Ten Commandments. To the point it made the people tremble so strongly that they told Moses, said, "You go back and talk to God, and you just come tell us what he said, but don't let God speak to us." Because God's voice was so powerful, they were afraid they would die. So many years later, it's where Elijah comes back to this place, to the mountain of God. And it took 40 days for him to get there. And now Elijah's gone into the cave, away from people, and he's thinking, well, I'll just be a caveman forever. I heard that there was a movie called that. I didn't see it. But then of your soul intends, if you're discouraged, he tends for you to stay discouraged. If you're full of fear, the enemy of your soul wants you to stay full of fear. He wants depression to rule your life. That doesn't seem like a very good thing. It's not. When God offers you peace and hope and love and contentment to rule your life. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Last two words, sound mind. God gives you the ability to believe him, trust him, praise the Lord. And so we serve an almighty God who's all-powerful, a risen Savior who's all, it's hard for me to understand that God is this way, but he is. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. Amen. No God can compete with him. There's not any God besides him to start with. But nothing can compete with that, praise the Lord. So wherever you're at, God's already been there with thousands of people. Whatever trial you're going through, God's already walked thousands of people through the same trial. He knows what he's doing. He's God. And so God uses positive manifestations here, powerful manifestations. And verses 11 and 12, let's look at it for just a minute. And he told him, he said, Elijah, go out to the mountain, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. And I'm sure Elijah said, wow, God, what's going on here? But it says the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. And when you're in an earthquake and the ground is shaking under your feet, and you know, just what if it opens up and swallows me? But it says the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. You see, God can speak. When things around you may be noisy and clamoring, God can speak to you in a still small voice and make you know it's him that's talking to you. And maybe that voice could be speaking to you today, that wherever you're at, if you're in a place of discouragement, you don't see how things can go on, maybe God's speaking that to you today. But he's saying, I still care for you, I still love you, I still want you, I still want to deliver you from your discouragement, your depression, whatever it is. Amen. If discouragement, depression, fear has overtaken you, God still cares. These things don't last forever. God does last forever. And your relationship with God can last forever. It's my friend, whether it's here or whether you're at home next week, pour out your heart before God. He understands. You don't have to be scared that you're going to say the wrong thing to God. He understands. He's heard it all before. Amen. You're not going to offend God by what you say. He loves you. He gave his all for you. He shed his blood on Calvary for your sin. He rose again from the dead to give you eternal life, to conquer death. And he's gone to prepare a place for you. My friend, we got something to shout about. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I can tell you, friend, the best is yet ahead for the child of God. God is forever. There won't be any depression. There won't be any discouragement in heaven. There won't be any cancer cells in heaven. There won't be any heart trouble in heaven. There won't be anything evil in heaven. And I can tell you, God has a place prepared for you and I that's perfect and pure, and there's not even the ounce of sin of any kind there. God loves you. God cares. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged that God's got that prepared for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Discouragement happens to everybody, yes. But we don't have to be people on the run. If you've got to run, run to God. Praise the Lord.